You know, when we first started the Lord, it's all about Jesus and me, isn't it? We're just so in love with Jesus, and you know, there's something about the love of God that never and should never cease to amaze me or you or any of us. And that is that that love is just something that is incomparable to anything on this planet, right? And but we begin when we begin a personal relationship. Listen, church family, it is a personal relationship. We must make sure it is not a private relationship. Okay? What do I mean by a private relationship? That means that I don't share him with anybody, and I don't let anybody into my, you know, the coin that we turned last week into a Christian, my Christian bubble. And that is that it's just me and Jesus, and I keep him to myself, and everybody should keep their religion to themselves. So we want to make sure that our faith is personal always, but never private. Okay, but what I want to share is that who's discovered that you cannot live this Christian life or walk this Christian journey on your own by yourself? You know, I look back on my journey. I still look back on my journey. I see men, predominantly men, who have impacted my life. Many of them already in heaven. My late father-in-law. Wow, what an impact he had, because he was real. And you know, I told my daughters many a times that I miss the time that he would. You know, he did it right. He was the first man in my life to tell me that I was a man. It took me to be 24 years old before somebody recognized that in me and said, "Joe, you are a man. You're no longer a boy. You're a man." You know, he was there always affirming me as a man. But I also think of my pastor, Pastor Charles Lehman. And, you know, I have learned more about the Word of God from him. I still listen to it, to his podcast. When I was a teenager, believe it or not, I had boxes and boxes of his cassette tapes. And I would just go through them over and over and over until, you know, when that cassette, I know, Kiki, you probably don't know what a cassette tape is, you know, until all the little tape got all tangled up in your recorder, and you knew that tape, that cassette tape. You know, I hated to lose many a tape, but I listened to them so much that little tape unraveled all over, and I had to toss those. But listen, I am indebted to him. There are many other men throughout different stretches of my faith journey that impacted my life and spoke into my life. And so I want to ask us this question tonight. Do we have someone in our lives that is speaking God's word to us on a regular basis? Do we have someone that is speaking God's word into our lives? You know, who's ever met on this journey people who said, "It's just Jesus and me, and I don't need anybody else," and blah, blah, blah. Baby, that's a very dangerous place to be in, when we come to the point that we think that we don't need anybody else, that we can wing this thing called Christianity on our own. No sir and no ma'am. We need each other.
Amen.
We need each other. I was sent Kiki a text the other night thanking her for, she's got unbelievable great ideas with this youth search ministry. And I told you that, right, Kiki? I said, you know, she's the voice of reason in that team. I mean, but Kiki had unbelievable ideas. And I said, "I'm glad you're on the team. We need you, Kiki. We need each other. Everybody has their own set of gifts that they bring to the table. And we need each other." Amen?
Amen.
I've learned more about the Old Testament from Scott than I think anybody else. I did take several classes on the Old Testament in seminary, but I didn't, you know, my heart was like, it's okay, I want to learn more about who I am in Christ. But anyway, we need each other, and we need people in our lives to speak into our lives. Can I get a witness on that, please? We need people. We are not an island unto ourselves. No person, no man is an island unto themselves. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read one verse of scripture. Verse 7. Remember those who, it says here, rule over you, but the word should read lead over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith do what? Whose faith what? Follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Notice, remember those who lead you, should read better instead of rule over you, who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Okay? You know, in Christian circles, I have never had anybody quote a verse like this to me. I've never had people quote me the one in 1 Timothy 5 that those who labor in the word are worthy of double honor. No one. The only one I get quoted to me is that one in James chapter 3, verse 2, that the teachers of the word will receive stricter judgment. Well, shouldn't they also quote the other ones? That we pastors are worthy of double honor? You. Is that much a part of God's word as we'll be held to a higher standard of accountability before the Lord because we teach the word, right? I mean, maybe if you're going to quote James 3:2, you better start quoting Romans 13:7 as well. Right?
What?
I've always just thought, you know, because well, you're a pastor, you're held to a higher standard, and you're a pastor, and you know, you're a pastor, you should know better, you're a pastor, you should be a better example. I'm like, I want to wring the neck, because that's their way, listen carefully, church family, that's their way of deflecting. It's like, don't look at my sins, but I want to point my finger at you. Oh, well, I'm a convenient scapegoat now, really? But I can't look at your life? Yoo-hoo. We'll look at that verse here shortly, okay? Notice, remember those who lead over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith, what are we supposed to do to their faith? Follow, listen to the next verse, provided that we see the outcome of their conduct. Who knows that, listen, if the Lord has drilled this into me in the last 4 years since my divorce, is that it's like the Lord telling me, I don't care how good of a Bible teacher you are, if you're not living it, son, you're nothing. I've had the Lord drill that into me. Right? You know, 2 Timothy chapter, I want to say 2 Timothy, no, it's 1 Timothy, I think it's 4, that says that Paul told Timothy, he says, watch over your life as a leader. Watch over your doctrine, number one. And number two, watch closely your life. And as a pastor, I have to do both. And how many of y'all know that I represent this church? I don't just represent myself. I represent all of you guys. And so I always try to be nice and be courteous and, you know, be thoughtful and try to be nice to people and this and that. And when it's my time to bite my tongue, then it's time to bite my tongue. Some of you are like, oh yeah, you gave me the head nod this evening, but not this morning. And I was preaching up a storm this morning. Thank you, Miss Rob. But listen, we have to see, this is what makes a good teacher of the word. Not just the teaching, but the lifestyle behind the teaching. Can I get a witness? Right? That's what makes a good teacher. You know, what if I taught you all about God's favor and prosperity and we never experienced? I was always broke. I was always, you know, had holes in my shoes. I always had this and that and raggedy clothes, but I was preaching prosperity and I believe prosperity. Some of you are going to think, get out of here, man. But what if I preach prosperity and I come in a nice suit that I got in clearance? And nice shoes that I got in clearance, I'm not going to pay $500, that's the retail price for those shoes. And a nice tie, come on somebody. And you can say, you know, people might say, I might not agree with this doctrine, with prosperity, but that guy is prosperous. Yeah. But I'm telling you, a lot of churches, listen, this is what I have found out in ministry. And I'm just touching on one aspect, okay? But I'm touching on this aspect. Now, I'm not saying this church, I'm very happy, but a lot of churches like to keep their preachers poor. And you know, I've never dishonored the gospel. I've never dishonored the name of Jesus Christ by coming constantly to the board and saying, I can't make ends meet. Do you realize how many pastors I know? Some of them are pastor friends of mine that live with a poverty mentality. I'm not saying they all have to drive nice cars. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying they all have to dress in Armani suits, in Giorgio Armani suits. You dig that, right, Jim? You know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, but dress nicely, man. Do the best with what you've got. You're representing the Lord.
Amen.
So it's one thing to teach something, but it's another thing to live it. Can I take it another level? Nobody get mad at me. And it's not going to be talking about you. It's going to be talking about preachers. I'm talking about preachers and ministers of the word. I have a very hard time listening to a minister of the word talk about self-control when that person is overweight. Dangerously overweight. Come on, somebody. And you know, I hear a lot of them stand up and they condemn homosexuality and they condemn adultery. And they condemn fornication. And I want to say, hey, yo, what about gluttony? That's just as bad. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Right? And you're teaching me on self-control, and you cannot control the fork at the table? Come on, man. Is it okay if I go like that, church family? I'm picking on us preachers as much, more than you guys. But we have to see the outcome of a person's conduct to see if they are living what they're teaching. Right? What about people that preach faith and talk faith, but they're very negative in their lives? I've met them. Ooh. I'm throwing a wet blanket on you. You know, yes, you are. And I'm not swayed by your unbelief. Come on, somebody. Can we call sin sin? It is unbelief. Can I get a witness? Is it okay if I just, you know, I had a certain message I wanted to teach, but I guess it's a get the thing off my chest message tonight. No, listen. We all need someone to speak into our lives. And we have to, this verse says, consider their lifestyle. Is their lifestyle worth following? Basically, in a nutshell, is what Hebrews 13:7 says. Look at their lifestyle. Don't just be dazzled by the teaching. Look at their lifestyle. Is their lifestyle worth following? Because the Bible tells us to follow certain leaders with certain conduct traits. When look at their faith, look at the conduct, and follow it, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Is it okay if I tell it like it is, people?
Yes.
Thank you. Look, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm fucking this sweet, good-looking lady in the back. Not you, Miss Robin. You're good-looking in your own way. But the younger one, she'll tell you that I'm far from perfect. Right, babe?
Right.
Thanks a lot.
She's just keeping it real.
She's keeping it real. Yeah, trust me. She keeps me grounded. That's for sure.
I'm not far from perfect myself.
Go. What'd you say you can do?
I'm far from perfect myself.
That's right. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, please. We're going to jump into verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears what kind of fruit?
Good.
Verse 17.
Good.
Good fruit. But a bad tree bears what kind of fruit?
Bad
fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Notice verse 20. Therefore, by their what you will know them?
Fruit.
By how good you are dazzled by the teaching. I'm telling on myself, people. I want you to look at my life, not just the teaching. Because the Bible says that pastors need to look at their teaching, number one, and their lives, number two.
Amen.
By their fruit, you shall know them. You know, I've always tried to use that verse to remind God's people, because remember, we're all sheep. How many of y'all know that sheep can sometimes be easily swayed? And sometimes when there's false accusations, like we talked about, you know, last week with the last giant, there are evil people with malicious tongues, and I'm telling you, don't play their game. They'll always win at their game. That you have to be on guard about, and I always have to, it's unfortunate that I have to remind God's people, or I have had to in previous churches, where I said, look, these rumors are going around, look at the fruit. Are people getting saved? Well, yes, they are. Okay. Are people getting water baptized? Yes, they are. Okay. Are people having a hunger and a thirst for the word of God and for righteousness? Yes, they are. Well, then, what kind of tree is it if that's the fruit? Regardless of the winds blowing, telling you that it's something different. Right? Is that simple enough to... Or what about, you know, be careful for those slick people... I still remember the high-back giants, those snakes in the grass that have a sign saying, this tree has apples. And you take a closer look at the tree, and it's not apples. It's rotten oranges. What I'm telling you is don't be dazzled by the sign. Take a look at the fruit yourself. Because how many of y'all know, listen, I've been at this baby a long time. I'm still young looking, I think. But I've been at it a long time, and I've seen these greasy street preachers, these greasy prophets, slick, greasy prophets that dress nicely, have their, you know, I don't know why, some look good and they talk good, but I'm telling you what, underneath the surface, when you scratch the veneer, it's a practicing pagan and not a man of God. By their fruit, you shall know them. Not by the sign that says, hello, I'm selling wonderful apples here. No, they're not apples. They're rotten oranges. Right? Don't look at the sign. Look at the fruit. Okay? So now, why do we need somebody to speak into our lives? Well, who has found that our hearts are not always trustworthy? Who's ever heard that saying? This is very popular in the world, in the culture. It says, follow your heart. How many of y'all found out that that can lead you to destruction?
Your heart is evil, and that's where
we were going to look at, that's right. We're going to look at that. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Thank you, Ms. Normie. You're preaching my message. you're on the right track, Ms. Normie. Thank you. Jeremiah 17. So let's talk about what is the heart. A heart is a combination. Listen carefully. The heart in the Bible is a, not talking about the physical blood pump. Okay? It's talking about a combination of two things. Your spirit and your soul is what constitutes your heart. If you're born again, your spirit is perfect, and all of the motives of a perfect spirit are pure and good. But how many of y'all know, next to that spirit is a soul that still needs to be retrained and reprogrammed. And your soul is comprised of three things: your mind, your intellect, your will, and your emotions. And often the way the world talks about the heart, it's always the emotions. And baby, I'm telling you right now, I think we're all old enough to know in life that if you follow your emotions, it's going to, they can get you into a lot of trouble. Can't tell you how many guys, growing up, when I was in college, I was a Christian, and I remember there was a co-worker of mine. I was working for a local newspaper. I was making calls as a telemarketer, bothering people, making money at it. And he would entrust me with his problems with this chick that he liked, and his emotions were getting him in trouble. I said, buddy, she's just messing with you. She's just dangling you around. Cut her clear. No, but I love her. No, you don't love her. She just looks good in jeans, that's all. That's what I told him, because he had showed me a picture. And I said, buddy, you cannot trust your emotions. Who's found that out?
Yes.
You cannot trust your emotions. Right. Who would like to read verse 9 of chapter 17, please? Jeremiah.
I would.
Okay, thank you.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Thank you. How kind of wicked is it?
Desperately
wicked. Desperately wicked. Listen, listen to what the Lord says. Wicked means twisted. Can I trust something in me that is twisted? No. Amen? Can I tell on you, babe? It's innocent. It's innocent, babe. Okay, so we had everything in Chicago downtown has a huge price tag. So we had paid for the parking, and it was not what they said it was going to be. It was twice as much. Yikes. And then we went out and found Giordano's and had us our pizza. We come back to the parking to pay for it, and it was charging us an extra $45. I'm like, what? We've only been gone 2 hours. We paid 2 hours ago for extra $45. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay a total of $100 for overnight parking. So I was hitting the assist button. She tried calling the number on the sign. No luck. So we called the hotel and we talked to the lady there at the lobby. And here, let me talk to the lady over that's in charge. She got us on the phone. And the lady was rude, wasn't she, babe?
She
was very rude. And I was asking her questions because I was wanting answers. She's like, quit asking me questions. Am I making it up? In that tone, didn't it? And she's like, my lady, she's ready to fight. Let me, babe, calm down. This is not a boxing match. Oh, babe, it's not a big deal. Don't get worked up over it. We cannot trust our hearts. Listen, as believers, we have to lead our hearts. We must never follow our hearts. Right? You know, I once heard a gal. She was a married gal talking about another dude that she was falling in love with. She said, I said, you understand that what you're going to do is wrong, right? Cheating on your spouse is wrong. And how many of y'all know that ladies do it just as much as guys do it? So, what was my point? I said, you know you're going to do wrong and you're going to damage a lot of lives. She said, the heart wants what the heart wants. I said, all right, well then have at it. We were watching a show last night. We love these mystery shows, don't we, babe? We just get involved in these Dateline mysteries and these murder mysteries. And there was this chick that had drowned her kids back in the mid-90s, was it? Susan Smith? And she had relations with one of the jail keepers that worked in the prison. And I thought, Dad, your life's going to turn for the worse. And she had some sort of sexual interaction with him. And he thought, oh, she loves me and all this. I said, no, buddy, it's going to go bad. And they talk about how bad it went. He became a felon, and he himself was behind bars. I said, how good was that sexual encounter now? Yoo-hoo. The point is, we cannot follow our hearts. We must lead our hearts with the Word of God. Can I get a witness? So what this also says in Jeremiah 17:9, if you're taking notes, write this down. We all have an incredible capacity to lie to ourselves. Can we keep it real, dear family? How many of y'all know that I can lie to myself all day long. It's called rationalization. Right? I can rearrange facts in my mind to make them look like I'm the good guy and everybody else is the bad guy. I can rearrange reality in my mind like rearranging furniture in a room. Yoo-hoo. I say I'm sure all of us can relate that if we're not careful, we lie to ourselves. That's why we need somebody on the outside speaking truth into our lives. Right? You know, I don't have a lot of, maybe I should. Sydney will probably change my mind about this. Because I see all kinds of people at the gym, and I mean all kinds. Sometimes I see very old people, right, babe? And they can barely do something, but they're there at the crack of dawn. Sometimes I'm there at the gym before 5 a.m. And I see them, and they're so faithful, and they're so faithful. And they can barely just pedal something with their arms, and I'm just thinking, golly, I said, Lord, you got to bless them. And then I hear these other more able-bodied people, well, you know, I tried, but I couldn't get her done. You know what, man? I don't want your excuses, their rationalizations. You know what? Save it for someone who cares. I see people every day in the gym that shouldn't be there, that I would understand if they just slept in, but they're not sleeping in. They're there doing just pedaling their arms, and they're probably 80 years old. I saw a lady once that she kept walking with a walker, barely walking across. And I said, Miss, I can't tell you how much your grit blesses me to see you here. She said, well, the doctor said I had to. I said, ma'am, God bless you. Wow. So is it okay if I don't have a lot of compassion for able-bodied people and say, well, you know, bless the Lord, it's 2022, this year's going to be my year. And that's what you said in 2021. And that's what you said in 2020. And that's what you said in 2019. And all you are, baby, is full of excuses. And that's a sanctified version of that. So, you know, we have to be careful because that is our makeup. That is our tendency. We need somebody that we trust, that we look at their outcome of their life, that we trust, that we see that person is a leader. They're not perfect. You're not ever going to find the perfect leader or spiritual leader on the face of this planet. The one that was on this planet lived 2,000 years ago. He's seated at the right hand of God. That's the last perfect leader that was here on planet Earth. Amen? But you have to find someone that you trust that can speak into your life. You know, I, like I said, I've had many mentors in the faith. You know, Paul the Apostle talked about having many teachers of the word, but you have very few fathers. You know, I can honestly say I've had few fathers in the faith. My father-in-law was one. There was a gentleman that's now in heaven, Mike Fleming was his name. When I was in my 30s in Kansas, he pulled me aside and he always spoke correction into my life. But I had a relationship with him. To be open my life for him to speak correction into my life. How many of y'all know? Can I go there, church family? Because, you know, I've discovered, I'll use my life as an example. Okay, one time, one of my younger brothers was in El Paso and he heard rumors, and that's all they were, rumors of me doing things that were unthinkable, and he decided to give me a call. When I was getting divorced, when my wife told me she was going to divorce me, I reached out to that brother, and he laughed at me, and he didn't want to have anything to do with me. But now that he heard bad rumors about me, then he's contacting me. And I thought, how dare you? You did not give me the time of day when I reached out to you for help and support, and now you're going to try to correct me? No, baby. You earn the right to correct somebody. Can I get a witness in the house? Yeah. You earn that right. That right is not a right you take. It is earned. Have you been there for them? Have you taken time to nurture the relationship? And if you have, then you have that right. If you don't, then zip. Is that okay if I beat that blood, church family? All right, let's stop there. We'll continue next week. Were you blessed with the teaching of the word? All right, I'm sure you were. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in the word, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we all need correction. We all need outside input from other godly people whose lives we trust, Lord, whose lives we see and lives we trust. Father, help us to follow faithfully. Help us to follow your word and be receptive, Father, from others, especially those that we do trust, we can confide in. We thank you for that support, Lord. We need it on our journey of faith. Amen.